Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we thank you so much for the power of your word. For Jesus, you are the word, and you are living and active in our lives. Fill us today with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we may gladly hear your word and respond with joy and thanksgiving in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. I love the lesson from Hebrews today. Not all the lessons. I mean, come on, who doesn't love the Bible, right? I mean, they're all great. So I guess you just can't put one over the other. But the lesson from Hebrews today I find to be very powerful. Because what it lays out for us is the fact that our God is in the redemption business. That's what he does. Because he is awesome, and he is loving, and he is kind and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and grace and mercy. And that is so powerful. We can't hear that enough in our lives. He's in the redemption business, and his redemption is over sin, death, and the devil. When he died for us, what he did was to buy us back. That's what redeemed means, right? You remember in the old days, you could go to the grocery store, and you would get green stamps. Do you remember those? And yes, they had those when I was born and when I was a little kid, believe it or not. And I remember my grandma got a whole new set of dishes from those green stamps. And she would take them, she'd save them up, she'd get them every time she went. I remember one time, she went to her car, and she freaked out because she didn't get her green stamps and had to go back in the store with a receipt. And I remember she took those green stamps in and she redeemed them. They bought those stamps from her and they paid her back with very nice dishes. Well, I remember them being very nice. I can't tell you how they really are. But anyways, she got the dishes. And there was all kinds of things like that. We take a coupon into the store and it says 50 cents off a box of cereal. They buy that coupon from us and they give us 50 cents off our bill because of the price of the cereal. They buy it back from us. And that's what God did, because when we fell into sin, when Adam and Eve sinned for that first time, and by nature we sin every day, every moment of every day, we exist as sinful people, we can't escape it. We fell into this dreaded state of death and disease and sin, and well, life sucks. Pardon my language, but it does. I mean, if you really stop to think about it, because of sin in this world, there are all kinds of things we have to deal with. There's our health worries and health concerns, and as I get over 40 more, I won't say how far I am, but as I progress over 40, I realize that, gee, this body is starting not to like things that it used to, and starting to do things it didn't used to, and it's amazing. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, I didn't know I had muscles there, or didn't know I had nerves there to feel pain there, but you catch my drift, right? And then now, you know, we got this coronavirus going on, and everybody's freaking out about that, which baffles my mind when there are more cases of the flu and more people dying in our country from that. But that's another story for another day, and we have to worry about these things. And healthcare costs are on the rise, and my gosh, it's tough. And then we have families to take care of. Some of you have adult children living with you. Some of you have parents living with you, and you know, you just fill in the blank with what goes on with your family, and life can be hard. And then there's the ends we have to make, and you know, expenses for things are going up, and maybe our income isn't going up with it, and there's bills to pay and debts to have, and all these things that go in our world. And then there's the emotional things we deal with in our lives, right? The emotional well-being and mental health well-being, that's important. Anxiety, worry, fear. Does anybody ever worry in here? I do. I am the biggest worry wart in the world. As a matter of fact, I worry so much that if I don't have something to worry about, I worry about that. This is true, I do. And then there's anxiety and fear, and then shame. You know, oh, I hate shame. That's from the devil, and it's a result of sin in this world. It's a result that we are sinful people by our beings. Shame enters, and shame is not like guilt. Guilt comes from the Holy Spirit. Guilt says, hey, you messed up. Turn the other way. Turn back to God. Shame says, you are miserable. You are your sin. You are no good. You will never be any good. And then that leads us to those negative voices that we have in our heads. Do any of you ever have the negative self-talk? I sure do. Nobody else besides me, really? Okay, thank you for being honest. You know that voice that says you're not a good pastor, your church is dying, you're going to fail, you're not a good husband, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, I hate those voices. And they go spiraling in the head. So you catch my drift, right? This is the kind of world we live in. It's hard to live these days. And then we have all the other stuff going on in our world that we like to look at. There's politics and Washington and wars and rumors of wars. And oh my gosh, if you read Facebook, you would think the end of the world, well, the end of the world, I guess, is at hand. Jesus said it wasn't the day he rose from the dead, right? So even before he rose from the dead, he said, the end of the world is at hand. But my golly, you would think the world has already ended, and I don't know. The reality is it's a tough world to live in because we're sinful, fallen people. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. We can't even pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We try. We try to do that, but often when we do, we realize that we're sinning even more because we put our confidence and our hope into ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, let me tell you, at least when I look in myself, there is nothing good there. There is no hope or confidence in myself. All I see is a diseased, rotten sinner. But that's where the redemption of Jesus comes in. The Jesus who died on the cross, the Jesus who rose from the dead, the Jesus that comes into your life by the power of baptism, by the power of his word, and through the Lord's Supper, the very Jesus that comes and he dwells with you every day of your life, comes and says, I have bought you back from sin, death, and the devil. I have redeemed you from sin, death, and the devil. I have restored your life. I have given you forgiveness. Rejoice in me. Don't look into yourselves, but rejoice in me. Now we'd be remiss not to talk about probably the thing that most of us fear the most. And this is what I like about the lesson in Hebrews today, and this is what spoke to me. Death. I didn't want to start off that way because that's, you know, what a great way to start a sermon. Good morning. Dead. You're dead. Dying. Whatever. But the reality is, guess what? We're all dying. We are. How many of you ever had a loved one die and somebody has come up to you and said this? Oh, God needed him. It was his time. Anybody? I cringe when people say that. I realize that sometimes we don't know what to say to people when they're suffering in mourning, and probably the best thing we can do when somebody is mourning is not to say anything or say something like, I'm praying for you or I'm here for you. Because sometimes when I speak this mouth, things come out of it that aren't really Jesus-like. First of all, God needs none of us. He doesn't need us. He wants us, which is a huge difference. I'd rather be wanted than needed. God wants us. He chooses to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil so that we'll be with him. But here's the reality that is very clear in our lesson for today. God does not cause death to happen. Period. Death is a result of the devil's work and our sin in this world. Death is an inevitable consequence that we all face because we are sinners. God does not want anybody to die. God doesn't want anybody to experience that. God doesn't want us to go through those things. But it is there. Because we are sinful creatures, we all will taste of death unless the Lord returns first, and that would be really awesome. But I'm probably going to hedge my bets on I'm going to see the grave. But here's the thing about God. While we may find it disturbing, and maybe it is a little disturbing to think about, well, God doesn't do that. That's Satan that causes death. Here's the comfort. God has destroyed death because he's in the redemption business. When we say things like God causes his death, it really takes him off the cross. It puts him back in the tomb. It takes his glory away because God wants glory. That's what he wants. That's why he created us. That's why he saved us, to give him glory, to serve him and love him. When we say things like, well, God causes death, or God had need for him, so it was his time and he took him, it takes the glory away from God, and we just, like I said, take him down and put him back in the tomb. That's not what God wants. He wants glory. So instead of that, we celebrate the redemption that Jesus has given us through his death and resurrection in the realization that we are saved and that even though we may taste of death, we will live forever. That death is not a finality, is not an end, but a new beginning into eternal life. The greatest expression of God's unconditional love and favor in our lives, the greatest expression of grace and redemption, the greatest expression of the gospel comes the day we die and open our eyes in heaven for eternity. That is the greatest expression that we can know of the grace and overwhelming unconditional love of our God. To take that away from him is to deny his power. But to rejoice in that power is to give him all glory. And that's what Simeon did the day he saw Jesus coming into the temple. He had known that he wasn't going to die, and he was hanging around the temple for a long time. And when he saw Jesus come in, he jumps to his feet and he gives us those powerful words that we often sing after communion. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have won for your people. A light to reveal you to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He saw the light of Jesus. He saw the redemption of God. He saw the salvation which God had won for him, and he was ready to die. He was ready to face the grave because he knew at that moment that nothing could take his eternal life away from him, for it was sealed in the death and resurrection of Christ, the Savior who had come into this world to rescue God's people for all eternity. So in the midst of the troubles that we face in this world, which they do exist, in the midst of a life that, well, quite frankly, can be pretty hard to live sometimes, we have a very powerful realization. Nothing that happens to us in this world, as bad as it may seem at this present time, nothing can separate us from God through Christ our Lord. Nothing can take away the hope and the glory of God's eternal life given to us. Nothing can overshadow the gift of heaven. Nothing. Because God's unconditional love poured out upon us through Christ in his death and his resurrection has sealed the deal of redemption and victory over sin, death, and the devil that is already yours even today. And because of that, you will rejoice in heaven. This world will fade away and die, but you will not. You will rest securely in the arms of Jesus in his eternal light and glory for all the days of eternity because of his redemptive power and work for you. So rejoice. Let your heart sing out and claim God's victory with the song of Simeon. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.